some people just need an opportunity, right? It doesn't mean everyone just given an opportunity will use it, but you can, sometimes you can just tell. So I think that when I look to like the true joy that I've had, like with our employees, has been like the personal connection. Like they know when management hat's on, when I'm like, hey, I got to lead. We got to do things, like tough conversation going to happen. But I think they generally know the real me is going to be like, hey, what's going on in your life? What do you need? Like, mm-hmm. how's the family and everything? Cause that's honestly, we care about that a lot. And I get a lot of joy seeing their progressions and stuff when they kind of felt hopeless.
Addison, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Fun.
Give us a little bit of your background for 2-3 minutes.
All right. Let's see. So you already gave the best part of our background is our glory days. Growing up in Orem, went through Orem Elementary, Lake Ridge, and Mountain View, right? Let's see. I've been working now at doTERRA for 10 years now. It's been a decade.
Dude, I can't believe that.
It's a decade. Yeah. It's been great. I really enjoy big essential oil guy, right? Married for the last 5 years, 3 kids,
pumping them out.
We go back and forth if we're a family of, you know, 5 or a family of 6, and we haven't decided yet. Right now it feels like a family of 5. So, right, Luca's our oldest, and then we have Mara, and then we have Wes, and Wes is 5 months old and in the middle of sleep training him. So that's been, it's been a blast. But yeah, and so graduated from UVU. That's like my life. I'm like a working dad. I guess that's it, just the basic working dad.
And what do you do for doTERRA?
So I run doTERRA South Africa. I'm the director of doTERRA Africa. We opened this market in 2019. So we essentially oversee all fulfillment, sales, marketing, events, and everything.
So, and then you served your mission there, and then you opened up the market in 2019.
Right. Yeah. So I served my mission.
4 years?
Yeah. So it's been 4 years.
Wow.
So I served my mission in Zambia.
Oh, Zambia.
Duh. Zambia.
Well, Africa, dude.
Yeah, I know. Everyone puts it all in one.
I know. It's like still, so huge.
I know. It's funny. When our friends Clint and Rick came and visited, they spent like a week in South Africa, and then we went up to Zambia, and they're like, oh, this is like real Africa. It's definitely, yeah, this is real Africa.
Is Kenya considered real Africa?
Kenya is considered real Africa. Like, so you've only been to real Africa. Really anything that's not like South Africa is totally different.
And Egypt. I didn't feel like that was Africa.
And Egypt and like all those other ones there. And
it's more like the East,
the Northeast part of Africa is all like Arab Africa. It's very different than like traditional Sahara, Southern Africa. So, but yeah,
And then you moved back a year ago. You
lived moved there back, yeah. So we lived there in a year and a half. We were supposed to move there in 2020. The day we got our visa was the same day that,
shutdowns.
I think Rudy Gobert got COVID. So Everything shut down that same time. It was crazy. So we lived in Airbnbs for a year. And then we moved to South Africa. Lived there 2021 till the end of mid-2022. And now I go back about 4 or 5 times a year. So it's a blast. Africa is a big part of my life.
Okay. And what did you start with? What was your first job at doTERRA? First position?
I was a member service agent. So needed some money for college.
So that's like call center customer service.
Customer service. The most
just entry level.
The lowest entry level position you could have at doTERRA. And matter of fact, I didn't even get hired when I applied. I applied and they were like, sent me the whole rejection email, and one way or another, having some people that I knew in there, they said, well, let's at least give them a chance. So I started with a chip on my shoulder and never thought I'd stay long-term, but it's been fun.
10 years later.
No reason to leave when you're having a blast. Right. So yeah, it's good.
All right. Jumping into the joy and fulfillment, and I kind of wanted to set it up with what you're doing now as a director and opening up a new market, which I'm sure is 1,000 times more stressful versus call center, especially when like 1,000 friends work there and you guys probably didn't do much.
Having the best time.
No judgment. I've just heard some stories. Anyways, kind of joy and fulfillment and how that has evolved with you evolving in your role with doTERRA.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, I mean, I felt like call center job was actually very stressful, right? Really? Like, okay. Like you're sitting there and there were days where like the queue is at 300 and something and your shift is ending and you don't leave until the shift ends. And you're just like on calls and maybe there's questions you don't know how to answer and you're powerless, right? Uh-huh. It kind of feels like in those ones. But it's a different kind of stress and for sure. Cause my joy was different. I just wanted to get out, hang out, mess around, screw around. And, that was kind of the stress I was feeling probably then versus now. There's a lot of pressure to try to make sure that we're a profitable market, you know, and make sure that our, wellness advocates down in South Africa, that they're successful, right? They depend on an income on us. And so if we're doing
wellness advocates are the people that sign up for doTERRA, as kind of independent salespeople.
Correct. Right? Yeah. They're distributors, right? So different companies call them independent consultants and doTERRA uses wellness advocate.
Yeah.
Try to, you know,
well, I'm just making a little relay. I mean, if good somebody call. Doesn't know what that is.
No. Yeah. Good call. The doTERRA in the network marketing world, it's what we call.
So you're working with all of those distributors, which are intrapreneurs, if you've heard that term, entrepreneurs inside of a business, uh-huh. right? So you're supporting them and their financial success a lot.
Depends on our you. Success. Yeah.
And then aside from that, you have employees in that market that work directly.
Correct.
Yep. So that's where I assume the stress is a little bit more compared to working in the call center.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, when it's more, it's just totally different because now I feel like a lot of people depend on us.
Yeah.
Like the wellness advocates definitely depend on what we're doing, make sure we're operating, you know, that we have items for them to sell, right? Uh-huh. The worst is stockouts and making sure that we essentially are there for them. If they're not successful, we don't have a business. So it's quite a bit of a partnership. I mean,
honestly, it's like a like franchising in my mind.
It's exactly
what it is. You're supporting a bunch of independent business owners that are selling your product under your brand. And if you don't do your marketing right, then they hate you.
And then they just, they're just livid, you know, and I get a lot of feedback from them and they're very positive with things we're doing, but yeah, it's definitely a lot of pressure on that. I mean, we have 11 employees in South Africa. Uh-huh. Right now we have four here in Pleasant Grove. And then I have 15,000 distributors that we're working with throughout South Africa. And we actually recently been started working in Botswana. That was really fun. We have a big group up there.
Which is another country.
It's another country. Yeah. So Africa's not one country. There's a lot of people sometimes are just like Africa and they think it's one. Botswana is its own country. And we're doing some work in other parts of Africa, which is fun. But yeah, I mean, the stress of it has been, it's interesting because I genuinely enjoy every single day, but man, the stress or things are more of things I can't control. And that's really, really hard. And I think that's similar to kind of the call center days when you kind of feel powerless, you know, when we're depending on suppliers and manufacturers and things that like now I can't just pawn it off like I would a call center agent. Now it's, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
I'm the one who has to figure it out and direct that. And I get a lot of joy in that, as weird as that sounds as well, like solving those problems. Like that's probably the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning. It's like, I love solving those little problems. So
do you think that that's what also caused the stress when you're call center? I'm just thinking about our other buddies that worked there. I don't feel like any of them felt any of that stress. So
no.
Because you felt it, do you feel like that's what drove you to then advance and advance and advance until you became the director? Because even as a call center, you're like, no, it's still on me.
Yeah. And probably I always thought like when, cause again, like I didn't get hired that first day. Yeah. So I always kind of felt that chip on my shoulder. I always felt like I had something to prove. I always felt like I had to have like in call center, you do call monitoring. They do things, they check you and make sure you have this high rate, right? And you want to be in the high 90s. And like, if I was like 98, I was stressed because, well, how am I going to move up to the next position? How am I going to get an increase and stuff? So like, I always made sure I took it extra serious. Yeah. We had a lot of fun, right? And our friends, we kind of screwed around a lot in those beginning days, but you kind of could. But yeah, it was like, I always took that job weirdly more serious than I think everyone else did. Cause I was like, how else am I going to get paid? How else am I going to be able to do things?
Yeah.
So that was kind of, I guess, my mindset then.
Okay. And then again, talking, I guess what brings you the most joy and fulfillment? Is it the problem solving? Is it supporting the distributors or providing a paycheck to employees, hiring them?
Yeah, it's probably a piece of each. One of the first things that we did when we got down there is we wanted to, on the employee side, is we wanted to kind of give them an opportunity to change their lives. We hired some people out of some of the local townships who are talented individuals, but not, they didn't have the education background. They didn't really have any experience. And we wanted to at least give them an opportunity to get out of the life that they were stuck in. Right. Which is very common there in the townships. So one of my favorite things we've done is we've done like financial training. Like, what are you going to do with your paycheck? This, you know, where does it go each month? You know, how do you prepare for the future? Our first thing was to get them in transport. How do we get them cars? You know, they've been taking what they call taxis. They're like these little 15 passenger vans that they fit 20 people in. Right. And that's how they get everywhere. That's how they've gotten everywhere their entire life. And so if you want to get across town, it takes 2.5 hours because different routes. So our first thing was, how do we get them independent and get them into a car? And so it was even cool. It's like, yeah, we could pay them and everything, but that wasn't going to change it. It was like us to be able to sit down and really be able to coach them.
It's kind of like the lottery winners.
Kind
of. Or NFL people. Like, the money doesn't solve the issue.
It doesn't.
It's the money with the education on what to do with it.
What to do with it, right? Because a lot of the time in traditional culture is they feel the need to just give, and just everyone has to be able to have enough to survive. And so the first thing we were teaching is that that's great. Like, definitely take care of your close relatives and family, but let's get you transport.
Yeah.
My receptionist, the big thing we were trying to get her is like, well, what are your long-term plans, right? Because she was like, well, maybe I'll get married and all my problems will be solved. And we're like, don't plan on, you know, all your problems only necessarily being solved through marriage. But, you know, she surprised me last time I was down there and said, hey, I bought an apartment. And that was like the coolest moment, because it was like things we'd talked about, like being really smart with your money. And now things she's like, yeah, like budgeting's pretty tight, but you know, now she gets married or whatever, she already has a place to stay where she can turn around and rent. So that's really fulfilling.
Where did that idea even come from? I don't feel like I'm a big believer in that, because we've always done that in the sales. And I like was selling people as, that's why you want to work for me rather than somebody else, because there's this value add and it's something I believe in. But I don't feel like W-2 jobs, I don't know if anybody really offers that.
It's different.
Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I think it's just when you show up, it's, you kind of see a lot of people, specifically that I was working with in South Africa, there's a lot of people who are just stuck in a cycle, right? If you look back at the history of South Africa, post-apartheid, like there's a lot of people stuck in a cycle they don't know how to get out of. And it's like, I've known that for, since I served my mission. So that was one of the coolest things there is when we were hiring people on and you're talking to them and you're asking them like, well, what's your goals? And then you could ask deeper, like, well, what's your long-term goals, like besides career?
And are you doing this like in the interview process or after they've already been hired?
We depends. We there was one individual during the interview process, right? The same receptionist that we were talking about like, well, what's actually your goals? Because she was, you know, we could tell she clicked, but we didn't know where she fit. Like we don't know if this position that we're hiring for is right for her. It wasn't receptionist at the time, but we could just see that she had like this raw talent, just had something that we liked. And so we just asked a lot of questions, and that's when we kind of realized like, hey, we can like, do you know that there's different things you can do, you know, some little more independence. You don't have to keep living these same similar things. And some people just need an opportunity, right? It doesn't mean everyone just given an opportunity will use it, but you can, sometimes you can just tell. So I think that when I look to like the true joy that I've had, like with our employees has been, like the personal connection, like they know when management hat's on, when I'm like, hey, I got to lead. We got to do things, like tough conversation going to happen. But I think they generally know the real me is going to be like, hey, what's going on in your life? What do you need? Like, how's the family and everything? Cause that's honestly, we care about that a lot. And I get a lot of joy seeing their progressions and stuff when they kind of felt hopeless, not always necessarily hopeless, but they felt a little stuck in life before.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of need somebody to, I mean, everybody needs mentors to guide you out of that. So anyways, I think that's really cool. It's just very different.
Yeah.
Which I think is such a, it's needed. It's appreciated. It provides you joy and fulfillment. I'm sure them. But the other thing, like looking financially, I'm sure that's better for everybody. I mean, it's better for their finances. It's better for your company's finances, because they're going to stick with you longer. There's no way that you don't get better retention.
Yeah. We, sometimes I wonder if we created a mess, because I don't like, genuinely, I don't think anyone ever wants to leave us. And so it's like, we're getting our retention. We've never had anyone quit. We haven't had to let someone go. We're just continually like growing little by little. Cause everyone, we've just created a really, really, really positive environment and culture. And that's been important to me from the beginning. And that's a bit like on our wellness advocate side as well. That's been how we interact with them. That's exactly what we do with them every day is like, what's your goal in life? Why do you need a residual income? Cause that's what we teach, right? In doTERRA's residual income. Like, why do you need a residual income? And you kind of really get down deep and kind of figure out what their like why in life is. Cause once you figure out their why in life, you can kind of figure out how to coach them into being a successful distributor.
And I can imagine that some people that you're asking what their why is, they don't know.
No
idea. They have to be coached on to kind of think about it.
99% of the time I'd say they have no idea. You rarely have someone who comes in and is like, you know, you'll have someone who comes in who's like, I saw these essential oils work on my child and literally my why is to let as many people know about this as possible. And that's really cool. But then there's other times where they come in and they're like, you know, well, I want some side money. Well, why do you want some side money? Well, cause then I won't be as stressed in my budget. Well, why is that important? Like what is you stressed on your budget for? And then you get down to, it's like, this person wants to travel. This person wants to see the world and they just don't have the finances for it. Or this person wants to be able to stay at home 8 hours a day, just spend a little time working. I mean, you don't find those things out until you really can kind of ask enough of the questions and honestly and you have to gain the relationship first, but
build the trust and then dig deeper.
Yeah.
Cause then it always, you ask why and then it's money. But and then it's like, but why?
Why?
Who cares?
Every single time.
You have as much money in the world. What do you do with it?
Right.
Anyways, that's super cool that you do that. You moved to South Africa, not knowing anybody there, for a year and a half with your wife and your dog, two kids.
No, you had to leave the dog here.
Oh, no, you did.
Yeah, had to get the dog here. They didn't want to import the dog. Yeah.
Talk about that. I mean, it doesn't have to be that. Maybe I'm just bringing that up. But mental health challenges that you've experienced. I'm assuming that that's was something difficult. So whether it's that or something else you want to talk about, but just a challenge and what you did to work through it.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. And yeah, moving to South Africa is not a small feat. And luckily I'd lived in Zambia. And so I had a decent idea of African culture. Especially South Africa being a little more westernized. But yeah, when you move into a country that it's not your home, different culture, backgrounds, the people you interact with, you don't have your mom to be like, let's go to my mom's house or our babysitter to watch the kids when you want to go out. Or where do you go out to? I mean, there's your whole life's different. As weird as it is, Kelsey would agree with this too when we went, is like, our mental health was probably top priority. Like, how do we keep ourselves busy? How do we have things to look forward to? And there were definitely moments where we felt that stress and struggle. Like the big part was our daughter was born down there. Mm-hmm. Right. So Mara, when she was born, the medical care is just completely different. And so we are going to these appointments and it was cool. They gave Kelsey was like, they give a ultrasound every single time. They don't do that in the States. So it was like, cool. But still the conversations were different. We weren't quite understanding everything the doctor's saying. So there's an anxiety every single day leading up to that birth.
How's it going to go?
Yeah. How's this going to go? And then we're in the labor room for 36 hours and you know, they really pressured us in trying to pressure us into C-section was a big thing down there. Just all that mental health, or all that up to there was really, really tricky. Like anytime we had to do anything in the healthcare system, it was just very hard for us. Mm-hmm. I ended up in the hospital, right, with some inflammation that I was having. And Mara, after she was born, had, you know, infection and she had to go to the hospital. And every single time it was like the worst week of our lives, like every single time it was just... One of us had to be with Luca at home. The other one was in the hospital with the other one, or I was in the hospital and Kelsey's there.
During COVID too, right?
Yeah, it was just chaos. You couldn't have multiple people in there.
Yeah.
So what I feel like the best thing though for like us and like overcoming that was talking about it. Like me and Kelsey, our marriage grew so strong, right? We always like loved each other and it was like, you know, great. But you really, the deep level when you have no one else, mm-hmm. That's where you really like confide in someone like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And her consistently being able to just sit and just tell me like, here's my feelings about all our healthcare challenges that we're going through down here. She just doesn't agree with a lot of things they were trying to do.
And cause she has a healthcare
background. Yeah. Kelsey's a registered nurse. And so, you know, she would a lot of times argue with the doctors and the nurses down there. Cause she's just like, this is just not typical protocol. And so like our thing was, we just talked. One of the hardest things was postpartum, you know, like her coming to me and saying she was having intrusive thoughts, like crazy intrusive thoughts. And I would have had no idea. And yeah, just us being able to talk through them and be like, yeah, they're not real. This is not a real situation.
Super common.
Super common.
Right? Yeah.
But like it, as honestly as like tough as those moments were, I feel like we got through them so well because of like how we communicated, how we set up our routines, how our lifestyle was. We had no distractions.
Yeah.
It was just me and her. And so we had a very good workout routine. Me and her were very, very good in communication. And so like we had these tough things, but like we had outlets that we didn't have any other things that distract us. Like we didn't have to worry about, oh, we have, you know, mother-in-law coming in, staying with us for a week on top of all the other things we're dealing with. Like it's just us.
Yeah, that's
it was kind of nice.
See, like with Ileana, I think the most times that we're most separated is when her family's here. Because she's just like, or when we go to Mexico for a month or whatever.
And see,
we're
living,
yeah, it's just like, and it's okay. And now we kind of understand that. But it is like, versus when you move to California and it's like, oh yeah, there's so many pros because you only have each other. Anyways,
it's so that cool.
Strengthens a ton.
Yeah. And when you guys moved to California and everything, and we were talking, it was like, there was like that bond, like, oh, you guys know what it's like not to be in Utah, right? Protected by Utah. But that is the,
yeah, I don't know if we need to compare San Diego to South Africa. Was it?
It's different,
but it was a different country. So don't want to take away any of your South African credit there, man.
No, it was definitely an adventure for us though, for sure. A lot of definitely. You know, I think Kelsey, she comes back. If you were to ask her now what the biggest emotional struggle of that whole trip was, that whole year and a half, was the week leading up to a flight to visit like the US, to come home for like a few weeks. Just the anxiety of a, you know, 16-hour flight with two babies. That alone, like she was losing it. And then like the day before I'd start losing it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be miserable. But yeah, I mean, then generally, like, I think those are a lot of things. Like, you get those thoughts and things are built up worse than they are. Then you're on the plane, you're like, this isn't that bad.
Not that bad. And it goes through and then you're done. A few months ago, we spoke about a challenge you were facing with kind of like, you know, I've been doing this for so long. I'm the director. I have my own market and all this, but I'm still, like, I still report to somebody. And you're kind of debating on how to get through that. And my advice was, a little bit of entrepreneurship sounds even worse than what you're going through. But anyways, I mean, kind of give an update and explain a little bit more on that, because I think you give a very unique perspective of like running your own market. So again, you have your own business, but you're inside of another business. So kind of the pros and cons with that. I think most of our guests are the entrepreneur. And anyways, you just give a different feedback on the good and bad.
Yeah.
Pros like, and cons that there are to everything.
When I take risks running the market, it's with someone else's money, right? Yep. And so it's a totally different kind of bid on it. Yeah, so I mean, when you look at everything with doTERRA, I mean, I've learned so much from every department. Like I've been around, so I kind of understand quite a bit there. But I was a young managing director, like the youngest one came in at that point in doTERRA to open a brand new market like South Africa. And it's great to get mentorship, right? But the thing that it was interesting with doTERRA is once I got down to South Africa, you know, I still had the guy that I reported to, and me and him were super close and everything. But when it came to actual mentorship, it was like, I felt like it was really lacking. Like a lot of times I think like, does doTERRA remember I'm down here?
Yeah.
Right? Like we're a smaller market compared to, you know, doTERRA US and stuff. But they know I'm down here. There's kind of sometimes that feeling. And I've come back and I report through international and I get some great mentorship, but there's always that thing of just like, yeah, there's sometimes that frustration of you know, I wish I had more control, you know, of things. I wish I had more control. There's a lot of things I can control, but there's other things like, you know, I'm still playing with our owner's money, you know, they're the ones who put all the risk in this, you know, and they leveraged everything to make doTERRA happen. And so now when we make things happen, it's tricky because I take that really personally and I want to make sure that this is something they would want to be done and everything. So just like an update on that, like I still feel like I feel that way. But I am grasping the vision very much of like, you know what, it's okay to be instructed by.
Well, and that's really people. What the question is coming from for all the people that haven't heard guests talk about going through that balance, like I guess that struggle of what do I want to do versus what am my decision versus somebody else's decision. It's never a perfect world in any business, regardless of the position. Yeah. How do you kind of be like, okay, this is just accept how it is.
Yeah. I don't think you ever like find the perfect balance ever. Like I always think you always tried to, but I don't think the balance exists. Like you're just constantly going back and forth. Right. I think the key I've always found is, look, I took this job knowing that my job is to make their company successful, to make their vision successful. And they hired me because they agree trust with my vision. Yeah. They agree with, you know, my, you know, business direction and everything I want to do. And so I think it's constantly that back and forth of, okay, I balance it of, I'm going to take a risk, right? I look at our different things from our owners, like they want me to take a risk. They want me to go find a way to make doTERRA South Africa work, but they don't want me to go off and make it not doTERRA.
Yeah.
Right. Like
still going on
at the same time as it's their vision. Very much our culture, you know, like we have a very strong culture. If I'm not sharing that in South Africa, then I'm not meeting their expectation and this is their company. And so, yeah, there's times where that's frustrating. Cause I'm like, this might work better, but I have to understand that like, okay, this is one of those moments where I got to kind of reel it in and realize they made the huge sacrifice of making this thing go.
And kind of on the flip side is let's say it was you, like they still don't make all the decisions. They're still partners and investors or whatever. You know, it's like you actually never are going to be in a position. So it's kind of like whether you are the founder or you're not the founder, either way, you don't have all the control. There's never all the control. No. So just living, knowing that you're in a community and you have to be doing it for yourself, but also for other people's best interests as well.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, and that's for me, I'm like, I got to trust myself, right? I got to trust my decisions and realize, you know, they don't know my team, right? They haven't met my team in South Africa. I hired them. And so like, I got to make sure that like our decisions day to day, like are good ones. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I generally do really enjoy that and stuff. And it is, that's weird balance. Cause it's like, I'm making those decisions, but since it's not fully like my company, I want the mentorship. What do they want done? Yep. And then back on the other side, they're like, oh, you don't need mentorship. We hired you, go do it. And so it is that constant back and forth, which it has its days. And that's why I said, I don't think there's a balance. I think you just have to kind of accept as those days happen.
Yep.
Where you're like, oh, I made a bad call and I'm going to have to report this. Or there might be the one of like, I took a risk and it paid off. It freaking paid off.
And I get to report this.
And I'm going to report this.
Yes.
You know? And so, yeah, it's fun. It is a lot of fun. I think there's definitely always the part of you that wants to be entrepreneurial.
I think you hit it perfect though, because you're playing the best of both worlds in an instant without, you know, there's still negatives of both sides as well, but you're making your own shots. You're opening your own market. You pick your employees and you have all of that. The joy and the fulfillment that comes with that, training employees, changing their lives. But at the same time, you do have the benefit of eliminating some downside, which is awesome. So anyways, when you were telling me I was like, dude, you're sitting great, man.
Thanks.
So you're still sitting great. So last question for you. What is the legacy you want to leave behind? How do you want to be remembered?
Yeah. So we, like even at doTERRA, we have our core values. And actually one of our core values is be the legacy. So we constantly are always talking about that. Like the legacy I want to be able to leave is basically patience. Like the one of like, you do the right work, you take, you know, take some risk, And Addison did that, you know. There's not so many people who start the entry level and make it up into the, you know,
direct. And then choose to leave literally across the world, live across the world in a brand new family.
Go be an expatriate and live across the world and here start this market that, you know, hasn't been open yet. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely.
And I know when you did that, this is just coming to my mind. Sorry for cutting you off. But
go for it.
When you looked at that and you were looking at that decision, a big piece of making the decision to leave and move was for your personal growth. Personal growth, experience, resume, whatever it was. But it was like, I'm not looking at it at how am I going to feel so much in Africa at a day-to-day, but like, who's this going to help me become? Which I'm sure looking back, there's no regrets that you did that.
Oh, yeah, no regrets. I mean, the only thing that was potentially holding me back was working with a little bit of a dirty dough at the time, right? It was the only thing that was on my mind that may have gotten me to stay a little bit.
Early dirty dough
days. Our early adventures with that. But yeah, I mean, my mindset was growth. It was, no, who gets this opportunity? Who gets an opportunity where someone, you know, to go lead across the world, be trusted with that? Like
at such a young age.
At a young age. And you know, I've always gotten kind of poked with that at doTERRA. Like, well, Addison's still young, right? I was 29 and I was like, oh, I can't wait to hit 30, right? Put some respect in my name.
But when you moved out there, when you became the director 4 years ago, you were 27?
Yeah. So when we first started,
that's gotta be scary.
When I first moved out there,
these freaking idiots are trusting me. That's how I'd feel.
Yeah. I remember sitting in Greg Cook's office and Greg was just like, he just kind of sat back in his chair like he does. And he just was telling me, here's my hands on his chest. Right. And he's telling me his expectations. And I was like, cool. And he's like, yep, if you do that, you'll be successful. Thanks. And it was literally, that was the meeting. And you're like, you go out and you overanalyze that a million times, but yeah, that's when you learn that's like, as long as I do those things, like that's all you asked.
Cutting me off on the legacy thing.
I
want to give you a shout out because I think that was super cool that you did that.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, yeah, that I think that's kind of the whole thing is like leave a legacy of like don't worry about, you know, where I'm at necessarily right there. Like continually just kind of strive. Like I want to leave a legacy of people who come into doTERRA can grow within doTERRA. That's a big thing in there that I have, because I think a lot of people, they come in, right? They got the college job or they might come in, work for a few years and they kind of feel stuck. And I feel like it's not. I feel like there's so many ways in like our company to grow. Like,
yeah. And setting that example of like, I did it.
Exactly, right? Like you might start in the call center and might end up in supply chain. You might start in the call center and you may end up in, you know, market management. You might end up in marketing. You know, I feel like there's a lot of talent of people who are there. You know, they feel like, oh, I just got to move right now. And that is constantly the thing being taught of like, always look for your opportunities, jump, jump, jump. And I feel like my own personal philosophy and the legacy I want to leave is like, I don't necessarily think that's true for everyone. I think there is a lot of benefit for the right individuals to realize, you know, put your head down and be patient, work, and your opportunities will come. It doesn't mean it'll come the day you want, but, you know, it'll come. And I hope that would be a legacy of that, you know, like I did that and I wasn't hired from day one. You know, that's the chip on my shoulder. And it was like from not hired to being able to be a market, you know, managing director. That's really cool for me.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time.
Great podcast, man. Podcast. Thanks for having me.
How do listeners connect with you? Tough
guy shirts
at hotmail.com.
I love it when you remember like the emails from like six, seventh grade.
Mine was bennettiscool@hotmail.com.
Yeah, bennettiscool@hotmail.com. Yeah. I remember one of our friends had a Chad Coker hands is hot. And it was a girl who thought Chad was hot. I'll never forget that one. But yeah, you can connect at addshirts4 on Instagram, right? It'd be great to get over 1,000 followers so then my wife would think I'm cool.
Let's do it.
Thing. So that's how you find me. Send me a DM.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Cool.